All right, day 54. We are in 1 Timothy 1 and 3 today.
Okay, these letters are kind of my favorite. Just as a side note, when we do 1 Timothy and then tomorrow we'll wrap up the week with 2 Timothy, these are my favorite pastoral letters that we have in Scripture. I just love the intimacy that Paul writes to Timothy. I love the encouragement to stand firm. Mm-hmm. And maybe I appreciate these because as a pastor, these are pastoral letters.
Yeah,
Timothy is serving as a pastor, church leader, and Paul as a mentor is saying, hey, I got you. Mm-hmm. Let me encourage you. Let me remind you. And so they feel extra personal to me in that way. But it starts with this. Paul says, and I love this at the beginning of 1 Timothy 1, Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me. There is not a better prayer, right? Mm-hmm. For someone that you love than grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Those three things, if you ever struggle to know what to pray for your kids, right? Grace is the blessing of things that you have no right or reason to expect. Mm-hmm. The giving of something. Mercy is the holding back of what I've earned. And peace is the trust and hope and faith that God will be in charge. And that gives great peace. And I love those three things together. Those are good prayers for my kids that mm-hmm. I love to pray for my kids because, hey, God, give them grace so that they'll know the gospel and they'll, and mm-hmm. give them blessings that they don't even understand and mercy, save them from their mistakes because they're kids and they will make mistakes.
Yep, yep.
Give them, this is the
One
trick with,
prayers.
This is the trick with mercy is give them just enough
that
it'll change their heart, mm-hmm. but not enough that it will bring them to ruin.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And that's not a knock on my kids or your kids,
but
we remember as we, like
I've done a lot of stupid things.
Yeah. And thank God for the grace and mercy of, mm-hmm. and then peace. God, the most important thing, give them the peace of the gospel mm-hmm. that will just resonate deeply in their hearts. These are great prayers to pray. And this is a father figure praying to his son in the faith. I am still praying these things for you. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a beautiful thing. And then he says, look, and so now pastorally, I told you this, and I'm going to tell you again, reject false teaching. Mm-hmm. Don't let it get into the church.
It.
Oh yeah, no, he's basically saying, Timothy, don't weaken on this. Don't negotiate with terrorists. Don't be taken hostage by false gospel. Don't let those people that say, well, if you just would change this, I would stay at your church or I would get involved. No. Don't have anything to do with any of that. And he says, those false doctrines, man, they are tricky. And what do they kind of get in there and they start ruining people that have good, sincere faith.
Yep.
It starts eating at them, right? So he says, don't get into that. And he said, the law is good, right? It's good, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly, the sinful, the unholy, the irreligious, for those who kill their mothers and their fathers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, and those practicing homosexuality, slave traders, liars, perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which is entrusted to me. So he's basically, the law is good, right? And the law is made not for the righteous, but for these people that are away from God so that it will condemn them. This is the beautiful picture of the gospel. Paul's saying the law, right? The Old Testament law that exists, mm-hmm. right? The law is there to show us where we fall short. Mm-hmm. So if you are a Christian, you don't have to compare yourself to the law anymore. But the law is there so that people outside of Christ, slave traders, sexually immoral, murderers, people that are mean to their parents, mm-hmm. all of this stuff, those people look at the law and they're supposed to realize how far short they've fallen. Mm-hmm. So what you can see is that somewhere in here, part of the false teaching, right, had to do with the law and what we had to do with the law and how we were supposed to follow the law. And Paul saying, no. Mm-hmm. Right, we're under a new covenant of grace. We have to act in certain ways, yes, but we're not judged by the law. We are now judged by the law of Christ instead. And then he says, I thank Christ, right, that he's given me strength and considered me trustworthy. And I'm encouraging you to have the same attitude, mm-hmm. right? Here's the trustworthy saying. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, and I'm the worst, right? But I'm dedicated. Mm-hmm. And then he charges Timothy. Okay, now you do it too. Reject the wrong, embrace the right, lead well. It's a fatherly kind of a thing. And then we get to chapter 3. And chapter 3 is this, it's this section of scripture that talks about qualifications for overseers and deacons, elders. Basically, an elder, pastor, shepherd, overseer, they're all the same kind of idea, and deacons. And so he says, look, here's a trustworthy saying. I love how it starts. Anyone who desires or aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. So the number one most important, I would say, qualification for serving as an elder mm-hmm. is that you desire to do so. Mm-hmm. It's a godly desire, right? Because nobody wants to be in charge. Well, that's not true. Probably there are some people that want to be in charge, but it's not something like any of the elders I've ever known. They're not like, yay, I get to be an elder. And, except it's a godly desire that they have so that they are passionate and excited to do it. And so there's a thing that God gives leaders. And certainly there are other men in the congregation that are qualified to be elders that are mm-hmm. not, because God hasn't given them that desire.
Sure.
So that's one. And then he lists all of these attributes of an elder. Above reproach, mm-hmm. faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not drunk, not violent, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, manages his family, children obey him, was worthy of respect, he's not a recent convert, has a good reputation with outsiders. I mean, there's a lot of things there. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we read that list and we're like, well, who could ever serve as an elder?
Right.
I think the difference is this. Those qualifications aren't unique to elders. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's Christian maturity. Mm-hmm. Every one of us ought to be growing in that. We ought to be gentle. We ought to be faithful to our spouse. We ought to be not a lover of money. We ought to be gentle and not quarrelsome. Everybody should be growing in those traits. But what Paul is saying is, if somebody is going to be a leader, one, they have to desire it because God's given them the desire. And two, it's not that they can't be angry, right? But that they can't be known as an angry person.
Right.
It's not that they, I would even go so far as to say, it's not saying they can't have been divorced, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But that they're not in the throes of that now, mm-hmm. right? That they are described, typified as, I am a one-woman man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
And so I think the qualifications aren't meant to be perfect, but they're meant to be moving in that direction, like moving in sanctification and holiness. And then he talks about deacons. And so elders, we see he's talking specifically about men, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons why we say, look, that pastors and elders are, to the best of our understanding in scripture, they're men. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to deaconesses and deacons, we see here that women are involved in this as well. Mm-hmm. And for us, that would be ministry team leaders or, some churches will just call them deacons, but mm-hmm. in the same way, deacons also worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, right? Like, mm-hmm. doesn't mean you can't have alcohol,
right?
But it means you can't be a drunkard, right?
Yeah.
You can't, this can't happen.
Yeah.
They're first tested, and then if there's nothing against them, they can serve as deacons in the same way the women are to be worthy of respect, right? Not malicious talkers, mm-hmm. but temperate and trustworthy in everything. And so there's this picture here about how this works. What I love about this is that these are things God has given us, positions in a local body to help govern the church,
mm-hmm.
right? We have elders over the local church, not so that we can have bosses of people,
yeah,
right, but so that we can have governance in the church, mm-hmm. So that we can have structure. And
yeah, and we again, we see God creating order and
yes,
chaos.
Systems yes. to help us,
mm-hmm.
to help us
do,
I know, right? God's giving us systems to help us manage mm-hmm. what he's given mm-hmm. us. And so this is, yeah, again, 1 Timothy, one of my favorite letters.